if you were to do a very thorough study to find out what exactly it was that Christ did on the cross, you would find that you are entering perhaps one of the deepest courses of study that you could ever embark upon. And you would discover that the Bible uses many, many different words and pictures to describe the work of Christ at Calvary and all that he did. What I want to do for a few minutes this evening is just consider three specific aspects concerning atonement that are revealed in the Old Testament that the New Testament says was all fulfilled in Christ. I want to highlight three things that come out of that passage in Leviticus 16. You've probably noticed how many times the word atonement appeared as we read through. Three particular things. Number one, there's the shedding of blood. Being a priest in Old Testament days was a pretty messy, smelly business. I, for one, am very thankful that I've been called to be an elder in a New Testament church and not an Old Testament priest in the tabernacle. It's pretty horrendous business. Gallons and gallons and gallons of blood were shed. But it's necessary that blood be shed for the remission and the forgiveness of sins. Because the wages of sin is death. It should be me that bears that punishment. And if another is going to bear it for me, it's necessary that that other die. That bloodshed occurs. Because that's how serious sin is in the eyes of God. It's important. It's big. And if perhaps you've never really comprehended and taken on board just how serious your sin is in God's eyes, then realize again what is necessary in order that our sin can be dealt with. It's necessary for blood to be shed. And did you notice? Not just one animal. Several different animals, and that's just one occasion. This is just one annual event that is being put into place. There were many, many other types of sacrifice that were also necessary because of the sins of God's people right throughout the year. All of that laid aside because of the completed, finished work of Christ, who shed his blood for me and for you. That's part of atonement, that someone has stood in my place, borne my punishment, and died for me and shed his blood for me. That's atonement. There's a second aspect to atonement. This passage introduces us to the annual Day of Atonement when the scapegoat was led out into the wilderness. And did you recall, as we read there, that the priest, Aaron initially, they would pray over this animal, all the sins of the people, all the sins of the people laid upon the head of this goat, and off it would go into the wilderness, and there it would be released, and there it would wander away. And there we have this picture of all of our sins being taken away from us, being removed from us. And forgiveness in the Bible, especially the forgiveness of sins, has within it this concept of us being separated from our sins. As far as the east is from the west, we've been separated from our sins. And there it is pictured as this goat wanders off into the wilderness, taking all their sins with them, every last one of them. All your sins disappearing into the horizon. What a wonderful picture that is. And that's what we have in Christ. Christ has separated us from our sins. They've all been placed on him and they've been carried far away. What an amazing thing it is that Christ has done at Calvary. In taking our sins from us, not just dying for them, but releasing us from them, taking them, that we might be separated from them forever. It's all fulfilled in that completed, finished work of Christ. That's atonement. And then did you notice also the references to washing? How it was necessary for the priests to wash themselves. Because our sin is pictured like filth before the eyes of a holy God. You cannot look upon the filth of our sin. And so in the Old Testament law, there's much washing and cleansing. And all of that has been done away with. I'm sure some of you will have had a bath or a shower this morning. But none of us have had to go through any kind of special washing ritual today in order that we might come and be in the Lord's presence. Because Christ has done it all. And Christ has washed us and cleansed us from all of our sins. We've been made clean in the sight of God. And when he looks upon us, if we're in Christ, he no longer sees us in the filthiness of our sin. He sees us in the clean righteousness of Christ. That's atonement. All that we see pictured in the Old Testament scripture, it's all been fulfilled through our Saviour at Calvary. And all these Old Testament requirements can all be laid to one side. And we simply pause. When we look at the bread, we remind ourselves of his body, broken for us. When we look at the wine, and we remind ourselves of his precious blood, spilled for us at Calvary's hill. And we know that we are secure in him. The great redeeming work is done. And our hearts should just be filled with thankfulness and gratitude for all that Christ has done. The atoning work of Christ. The blood has been shed. We've been separated from our sins. And we've been washed clean in the eyes of a holy God. Well, there's many more things that could be said. But those three things alone ought to be more than enough to cause us to just bow before him and to worship him. And as we share these emblems together this evening, these emblems are given for those who know that in Christ their sins are forgiven. If you've repented of your sin and if you're trusting in Christ and if you're walking in fellowship with the Lord's people, then these emblems are for you to freely partake of this evening. And we welcome you to join with us. But if you don't know that you're saved, if you're not sure that this Lord Jesus is your Saviour, then please don't take the bread and please don't take the wine, but take this opportunity to consider for yourself all that Christ has done for you at Calvary, of how he has paid the price for your sin through shedding his blood, of how you can have all of your sins dealt with and be separated from them forever through Christ. And to remember that through him and only through him you can be washed clean from all of your unrighteousness, even the very worst of them. God's grace is sufficient to deal with them through the work of Christ. And so we're going to share very simply now these emblems and remember together the atoning work that Christ has done for us at Calvary. We begin by sharing the bread together. We remember how the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." I'm going to ask Cliff if he would lead us in thanks for the bread. As the bread is served, we'll eat it as we receive it. I've asked Paul if he would lead us in thanks for the cup. It's our practice here to wait until everyone's been served and we'll drink together. The Lord Jesus Christ has made full atonement for all of our sins, so let us drink with thanks. Let's conclude our worship this evening as we stand and sing together. Done is the work that saves, once and forever done, finished the righteousness that clothes the unrighteous one. Well, let's stand and sing as we close. Father, we pray that we might know the glorious reality of the atoning work of Christ, to be forgiven all of our sins and to be washed clean of all our unrighteousness. Cause us, O Lord, to look to Christ, the one who died for us, the one whose blood was shed, that we might be forgiven, that we might know that we are saved, that our hope and our confidence will be in him and him alone, and that throughout this coming week we can know that we are walking in fellowship with our God. Help us, we pray, O Lord, have mercy upon us, forgive us all of our sins, and may we walk in obedience to our God and our Saviour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.